You're listening to a 3CR podcast recorded in the 3CR Community Radio Studio in Melbourne, Australia. If you like what you hear, please consider donating or subscribing so we can keep bringing you more independent community content. For more information, go to 3cr.org.au.
3CR would like to acknowledge the Kulin Nation, true owners, caretakers and custodians of the lands from which we broadcast. 3CR pays respect to elders past and present of the Kulin Nation. We recognise their unceded sovereignty.
This is 3CR Breakfast.
Oh yeah.
Alternative news, analysis and current affairs. Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 8:30 a.m.
Only double.
Grab your pants.
Good morning, listeners. You're listening to 3CR on 8:55 a.m. My name's Edmi, and I'll be your host this morning on the Monday Breakfast Show. Today's Monday, the 15th of September, 2025, and full spring is beginning to end. I feel like the days are starting to heat up a little bit, which is beautiful. We saw over the weekend a couple of different rallies in Naam. We saw the 100th consecutive week of Free Palestine rallies and ongoing calls to end the genocide in Gaza and for Israel to end their siege immediately, as well as a rally led by First Nations peoples and calling for sovereignty and anti-racism and anti-fascism and pro-migration and pro-all human people. But might just jump into it. We've got a few things on today, so looking forward to it.
Breakfast would like to thank the New International Bookshop, Melbourne's radical bookstore and venue, for their financial support of this program. You can find Nibs opposite reception in the Lygon Street wing of Trades Hall, Carlton. Keep up to date with upcoming events at nibs.org.au.
So I'll do a little rundown of what we've got in store for today's shows. First up, we'll be hearing a speech from Saturday's Sovereignty Never Ceded rally against racism and fascism. We'll be hearing a speech from staunch First Nations woman Yaron Cousins Bundle. Yaron is a traditional dancer, storyteller, firekeeper and pyrography artist. She's a mother of four belonging to Gunjamara, Jaburung, Yuin and Bajara First Nations and the founder and creative director of SOPEC, the Southern Ocean Protection Embassy Collective, a Gunjamara-led advocacy and protection group. After that, we'll be listening to two parts in a talk that was given on Friday night at Black Spark in Northcote. The topic of the talk was on reanimating the world, and we saw three speakers, one of which was Rune Rasmussen, a Danish native and well-known Nordic animist, Yin Paradis, a Wakaya man from North Queensland and a promoter of primal living and dialogue, and Tyson Yonker Porter, an acclaimed Aboriginal author, academic and founder of the Indigenous Knowledge Systems Lab at Deakin University. You may have heard of Tyson Yonker Porter, as he's the author of the book Sand Talk. Following that, we'll be listening to a rally held outside the ALP State Conference from Saturday the 2nd of August, where there were a coalition of groups coming together to protest against the ALP with demands to sanction Israel, stop arming Israel, end Indigenous deaths in custody, stop building prisons to defend the CFMEU, to save public housing, and a call for justice for refugees. The speech is from a Palestinian woman and activist named Noor. And finally, on the show later today, well, later this morning, we'll be hearing a segment from Radiance and Pain lecture and panel. We'll be hearing a speech from Leah Manima Avana, who is a multidisciplinary artist, psychotherapist, and a cultural educator of Tuvaluan and Irish heritage. On that note, after this, we'll be getting into the headlines for today, so stay tuned.
Some folks know about it, some don't. Some will learn to shout it, some won't. But sooner or later, baby, here's a ditty, say you're gonna have to get right down to the real nitty-gritty.
You're listening to 3CR at 8:55 a.m. and these are the news headlines for Monday the 15th of September 2025. In London, far-right activists have united against immigration in a rally seeing 110,000 people gather and violence erupt. The so-called Unite the Kingdom demonstration saw protesters clash with police, who dispatched 1,600 officers and 26 were reportedly injured, with the rally pushing an apparent free speech agenda. The march was organised by far-right anti-immigration activist Tommy Robinson, following several protests over the UK summer held outside hotels housing asylum seekers. Robinson, whose real name is Stephen Yaxley Lennon, is known for his anti-immigration and anti-Islam stance, and has said that, quote, "Today is the spark of a cultural revolution in Great Britain. This is our moment," end quote. The speakers at the rally included Elon Musk, who described a, quote, "rapidly increasing erosion of Britain with massive uncontrolled migration." French far-right politician Eric Zemmour, who, quote, reiterated the far-right, white nationalist so-called Great Replacement conspiracy theory, which claims that white Europeans are being deliberately supplanted by non-white immigrants. And the anti-immigrant alternative for Germany AfD party's Peter Bystrom. Further, Zemmour targeted his words to, quote, peoples coming from the south and of Muslim culture, describing them as, quote, colonizers who came from former colonies, end quote. Counter-protests were also present, with the campaign group Stand Up to Racism amassing 5,000 people in support. Just last week, some 890 people were detained in the UK during a Palestine Action protest where supporters called for bans on their movement to be lifted. In November 2023, a pro-Palestine rally in London had 300,000 supporters present. Also in news this week, here in Naam, yesterday saw the 100th consecutive week of rallies supporting Palestine and calling for an immediate end to Israel's ongoing genocide in Gaza. With demands on Israel to fully withdraw from Gaza and the imposition of sanctions on Israel, Free Palestine Coalition Naam have also called for the safe passage of the flotilla as a part of the global Samud flotilla movement in their efforts to open a humanitarian corridor and distribute medical aid and food supplies. The death toll in Gaza has risen to 680,000 human beings, with around half of them being children under the age of 5. Yesterday's rally followed a big turnout on Saturday in support of a National Day of Action called after Camp Sovereignty was attacked by far-right anti-immigration fascists and the NSN made up of neo-Nazis 2 weeks ago. The rally saw thousands of supporters led by traditional owners and First Nations peoples against racism, fascism and white supremacy. The rally heard from numerous traditional owners and First Nations peoples demanding their sovereignty, including Wandi Wandian man Kieran Stewart Ashton of the Black People's Union and Crime Scene Australia, Gunjamara, Jabarung, Ewan and Bajar woman Yaron Cousins Bundle, and Auntie Rhea Alice of Grandmothers Against Removal. These have been the news headlines for Monday the 15th of September, and you're listening to 3CR on 8:55 a.m.
Want to open the door to opportunities? Discover Learn Local, right in the heart of your community. Build confidence in reading and writing. Gain work and life skills while supporting family. Learn Local, a wide range of low-cost courses at over 200 locations across Victoria. Your goals, your way. Visit vic.gov.au/learnlocal-firstnations to start exploring now. Authorised with Victorian Government Melbourne.
A 3CR supporter.
Hi, I'm Cam Smith from Yanar Pasaran.
I'm Andy Fleming.
Andy, quick question. The commercial media, that provides a voice to marginalised communities, doesn't it? And as governments around the world take a turn to the far right, it provides a critical anti-fascist analysis?
Cam, how many times do I have to tell you this? No, that's not the case.
Ah, that's not good. So who is doing all that?
Cam, community media, including 3CR, Melbourne's community radio.
And how can we support 3CR in doing that?
We can subscribe, Cam, at any time.
By visiting 3cr.org.au or calling the station on 9419 8377. Subscribe to 3CR.
And stay anti-fascist.
To start off today's show, we'll be playing a segment from Saturday's Sovereignty Never Ceded rally at Flinders Street Station. The rally was held with a clear message. Racism and fascism are not welcome here. The rally was part of a National Day of Action saying no to Nazis, no to white supremacy, to stand with Camp Sovereignty, and for corroboree, not colony. The National Day of Action was called in light of recent violent attacks on camp sovereignty by neo-Nazis and far-right agitators. The attack was not just on a camp. It was an attack on Aboriginal sovereignty, on the fight for justice, and on every community that stands against racism and fascism in this country. On Saturday the 13th, rallies were held in so-called Melbourne, Brisbane, Sydney, Canberra, Perth, Hobart, Katoomba, Adelaide, Grafton, Uwe Mackay, and on Arente lands. The following speech is from staunch First Nations woman Yaron Cousins Bundle. Yaron is a traditional dancer, storyteller, firekeeper, and pyrography artist. The mother of four belonging to Gujamara, Jaburung, Yuin, and Bijara First Nations, Yaron is founder and creative director of SOPEC, the Southern Ocean Protection Embassy Collective, a Gujamara-led advocacy and protection group for ocean sanctuary, oceanic, ancestral family and cultural heritage protection across the Gujamara Sea Country. Yaron is a cultural language teacher and staunch advocate for First Peoples cultural reclamation, restoration practices, and Black-led sciences for combating climate change. Strong in her learnings, her vibrant and compelling teachings will inspire deep appreciation and understanding of Sea Country, family, and culture. Have a listen.
And here's one of the warriors, women, grandmother law, my blood, Gunditjmara, Jarrang, and many other few nations in her. This is Yaron Bundle. She's up there fighting on country now with the gas. Yeah, true strong woman, grandmother law, Yaron Bundle, everybody.
Hey! Yes, my sister. Nyata, hello everyone. We come here to speak on behalf of our Nyalamin Mertekule, our old people, and the country that we belong to. We proudly come from Gunditjmara, Jaburung, Yuin, and Bijara nations, and my family. You might not know, but they're all here with us today. We come to have a yarn, and we come to honour sacred country. We come to protect sacred country, and we carry that fire everywhere we go. And it's inside all of our children as well. There's a couple of things that need to be said. I'll start with the negative. The Vic poll. You Nazi sympathisers! We're going to shine a light, because we're daughters of the sun. And as my uncle and my old people say, we come from the first sunrise and we're the oldest living culture on this planet. We're connected directly to the heartbeat of the mother. Now that's some real Avatar shit for you. I'm here to speak for my family, the Gunditjmara, Jaburung, Yuin people. And we're saltwater people. We carry the saltwater in our blood as well. And we carry that all the way from the freshwater in the mountains, on the snowy mountains, the highest mountains here, on the land of the rainbow serpent. And we carry that freshwater all the way to the saltwater. And this is not new to us. Us warriors have been there in the background. We've been raised into the front line of defending country and defending culture and law. I have to pay my deep respects to my elders, my mum, Vicky Cousins, and my father, Robert Bundle, songman, carried that Jungala law all the way from Yuin country, and my mum, who's a senior possum skin cloak reviver. Woo! And I want everyone here to carry some of that yama, that knowing and understanding inside you. We want that message to touch all the Vikpo right in their tumtumpa, in their heartbeat. Love is our shield, and it's something that the Nazis and their hate can never, ever, ever break. What I hold here is a kurumuk, and this carries, this is our version of the polar bear skin. Every single hair on this kurumuk is hollow, and it can never freeze. That's why the old people chose it as a practical and spiritual connection and use. And this is what holds the Southern Law. And I want everyone to know, especially Vikpo, that that law is alive and strong, and we're bringing it. This Oka, this is my country, this is my ancestors here. This is the next generation, this is my son Mandara, Thunderman. Uncle Mandara from Japurong. And my big brother Rooney, he's a lawman from that country, and we have to honour that sacred fire. I've got a little bit more yarn to tell you. Not very long ago, I made a police report where I live up on Japurong country against these dirty scum been casing me and my children on my own country. I had to walk around with my war stick on my own country defending my children at night time. And these scum dogs come up on our land and they come into what my parents bought back their country. So they own it right by law and white law. They can never touch us. They come on our ceremony ground that we built there and they cut down our flag and they're trying to terrorize me and my kids living on country. The lowest. And so when they came, we had to call them old people. We had to call them old people bones that are resting there. The Japurung, the Kalaknyat, the Garabanud. Not many people know about the Garabanud. They're the king parrot speaking people of the Otways. The Great Ocean Road people, you all know that. Well, learn the Garabanud. They were wiped out. And the bloodlines go back into the country. And them old people bones are there too. Karak, Nat, Tangarang, all the old people bones that I'm connected to, and I really believe that that's what protected us that day. Hey, my sister. We were terrorised. We felt terror, so we called on them old people. And them old people came right to us. Right to our blood, and not one of them Nazi scum stepped foot in that sacred sand circle in the sacred fire. Uncle's right, you know, they come looking for black fella blood. They come looking for the black men and our boys, and they're the biggest double targets. They're targeted by white supremacy and they're targeted by Vikpo. We got to defend our warriors and we got to bring them with us into the future. And every single one of you has a responsibility to support our children. We got a couple of little yarns that we want you to learn in honour of what we're saying. We want to take it in, retain it, and then go and do something to support mob in the land of the rainbow serpent. So I'm gonna say whose country, and you're gonna say land of the rainbow serpent. Then I'm gonna say whose country, and you're gonna say mob country. I'm gonna say whose country, and you're going to say sacred fire. Bunjil's country. That's right, sister. His country! Make him hear you all the way. And I'll say it with you. Whose country? Land of the Rainbow Serpent! Whose country? Bunjil's country! These people are very lost. You know, but we're sick of carrying the cultural and colonial load, educating these dumb idiots. We need you all to step up and help us. What they need to learn, these lost little boys, they need to learn that unity, you know, that sacred fire, that sacred circle. And we all have a place of belonging on that sacred circle. I want people to understand that you need to follow cultural protocol from now on, from this moment onwards. Wherever you live, you go and find them mob and you learn them cultural protocols. Ready really loud, everyone, together after me. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. Always was, always will be
Aboriginal land.
Always was, always will be
Aboriginal land.
Always was, always will be
Aboriginal land.
That's my voice. We're going to hand the mic to some brothers that have been there. They come all the way. They follow the call. And the warriors come. And me and my sister Chato, we stood ground at Japurung. And we stood ground here. And we want everyone to know, be ready for the next sacred fire call out, because it's coming very soon. Yo!
Stay tuned, stay radical.
We demand the full restoration of all Indigenous lands and resources, and we demand the immediate cessation of all forms of exploitation and destruction of our lands.
We're here to remind you of our sovereignty and our original demand from day one.
It started with intentional genocide of our people around the round table in England. It's all lies here. Everything's a lie. It's a great opportunity right now. Step into a sovereign, independent republic.
We demand a treaty. We demand our lands back. We demand to stop Black Death in custody.
I'm Petty Mills with $12 million. I'm done. Cause I'm Jimmy Little with a royal telephone. I'm the world champion 68. Boy, I'm Lionel Rose. I'm William Cooper. I take a stand when no one even knows. I'm the walker and the sounder. The children coming home, boy. I'm Groom. I'm March. I'm everything that you ask. I'm everything that you count. I'm the dead heart. I'm Les Briggs, I'm Paul Briggs, I'm Uncle Ringo with all them kids. I'm Uncle Buck, everybody loves me, ain't none below, ain't none above me. I'm the carving out of every scar tree. I'm those flats, that Bivachi now. Mr. Apple, think about me and you, we feel the same. And it might sound strange, but I'm just saying, we both unsettled when the boats came. I'm Goon, I'm March, I'm everything that you ask, I'm everything that you come. I'm the dead heart, heartbeat.
You're listening to 3CR on 855 AM. If you're just tuning in, that was The Children Came Back by Briggs, Gurumul, and yeah, it's a beautiful song. Before that, we heard a speech from the Sovereignty Never Ceded rally, which happened on Saturday as part of a National Day of Action. It was a mob-led rally against... And in it was against racism, fascism, and white supremacy, and standing up against these things. And we saw thousands of people come out in support, which was great. Up next, I'll be playing part one of a two-part segment from a talk given at Black Spark on Friday, the 12th of September, Friday evening, on reanimating the world. Friday, the 12th of Black Spark, saw the event about reanimating the world, which is at its root about transforming both our understanding of and relation to the non-human world. In this moment where various life systems, habitats and processes are coming under increasing threat and strain, it's time to reimagine and transform our relationship to the rest of nature and ourselves. The event was facilitated by Rune Rasmussen, a Danish native and well-known Nordic animist, Yin Paradis, a Wakaya man from North Queensland and a promoter of primal living and dialogue, and Tyson Yunker Porter, an acclaimed Aboriginal author, academic, and founder of the Indigenous Knowledge Systems Lab at Deakin University. Best known for his groundbreaking book Sand Talk, How Indigenous Thinking Can Save the World, Tyson brings Indigenous methodologies to the forefront of global conversations, tackling complex systems and existential challenges with sharp insight and cultural depth. He has also worked as a researcher, educator, and woodcarver. The following segment is from Friday evening's speech, and I hope you enjoy because it was a very beautiful speech to see live and beautiful night to be a part of.
Round two. Okay. So, Tyson, when I think of my relationship with you, what comes to mind is not thoughts or concepts, but rather sounds. The sound of an axe chipping away at a long piece of very hard desert acacia, or the shk 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 of rasping some clapsticks. A lot of what you offer in the written word is done so through the experience of carving, bringing pieces of dead wood back to life into song and story. Can you share with us a little what carving means for you and why you offer it as a container for transformative storytelling.
Ah.
You've even got a piece in your hand.
Yeah, that was... So I didn't make it clear that I wasn't just saying, oh, hold this for me for a minute. Like, that's...
No, I'm...
That's the one I made for you.
I know, and...
All right, I just
We'll get to that in a minute. We'll get to Fox later.
Okay, but you gotta keep it.
Okay, I'll keep it. I'll hold it. We'll explain this later.
Yeah. Well, it all comes around to the same thing, you know. Like, everything that's good about, you know, what our law, what Yin was sharing before, everything that's good about that, and also the connections, you know, with runes, you know, law and recovered law, everything that's good about that is around good border work. Like, we have indigenous border work is just human border work, like what most people have done forever, you know, and it should make people feel all right about diaspora. You know, we always think in terms of loss. Like, I've been sitting here in Melbourne for 10 years thinking about what I've lost being 3,000 kilometers south, you know, from my family, from my clan, Upledge clan. And I'm just, I don't know, but it's been a gift, you know? Yeah, the things, diaspora is not, is not about loss. You know, you're carrying seed banks around, you know, of knowledge, and cultural recovery is just there for everybody. We don't know everything, you know, as black fellas, there's not, no single one of us knows everything. Each of us just knows a bit. It only means something when we come together, and sometimes we just couldn't be bothered learning any of it anyway, because we don't have to, because we've got law keepers who keep it. And like, everybody in this room's got law keepers who keep their old law, keep their foundational law, you know. So when I talk about good border work, I'm talking about what we do when we travel, you know, when we use one of those three freedoms that every person has as their own sovereign law, is that you've got the freedom to refuse, to say, nah, fuck you, I'm not going to do it if anybody tries to force you. And then you've got that freedom of affiliation, you know, that you can, you know, connect up and belong to any family, any tribe who takes you in if you want to marry into that tribe or adopt in, they want to adopt you in. We've got that freedom of affiliation, and we have freedom of movement above all, you know, and we're supposed to voyage. Sorry, I'm looking at you the whole time. It's just anger. Not being creepy. See, that would be bad border work. yeah, because there's that, all those concentric circles of law. You've got that at that individual level, you know, your law as a self in relation, you know, that's, yeah, that's there. But then you're always in a family, and then that keeps scaling out. There's different law that comes out, you know, to your clan, and then to your whole tribe, and then to your region, and then in the regions beyond that. And you have the right to travel. I mean, everybody travels. And we always travel, you know, when we're talking about law, we travel for ceremony, where we connect up with people, and we marry in with them, we have affairs with them, we have fights with them, you know, and but we meet at the borders. Because the idea of indigenous border work or border work in the global south has always been that it's a site of increase, it's a site of making kin, so kin making happens there. It's a, you know, it's a site of ritual, you know, where we, you know, we create and we make, you know, really fluid dynamic spaces of increase together, and kin making ritual, and it's about facilitating flows and norms of access. And that's how we regulate, that's how we do our border control, is by, you know, loving connections, making sure everybody's, you know, safe coming through. And that's it. And the same as the border between genders, you know, and you know, how we do that kind of crossover, and that border work's all good. But the border work is just fucked right now, like all over. And that's kind of coming to a head, and that's a crisis. Yeah, it's not just a meaning crisis or anything like that. It's bigger than that. It's that really invasive, not just defensive, but invasive border work. What's comforting about it though is that sorry, Brad, I'll finish up. What's comforting about what's happening now, like particularly, you know, the Trump world and just all the big blocks of dictators that are, you know, trying to get it up in all those places. What's comforting about that is it's always a sign of imminent collapse and fear of collapse when people start strengthening their walls, you know, and building walls where there weren't any before, making them higher, stronger. That's always a sign that they know it's falling. They know that, you know, and walls invite embellishment, you know. Like walls stop flows in nature, but also nature loves a wall. It's like, oh, there I can grow lichen there. I can grow some fungus there. I can put some spider webs there. The birds come in after spider webs, they're gonna shit, there'll be seeds in that shit and they sprout up. Soon there's vines all over it. There's graffiti, there's drug deals, there's people tunneling under it, you know. And soon it's just this beautiful thing that's, you know, nature finds a way. Yeah, because borders have a purpose. Borders are there to promote fecundity. They're places that we have to, like, we're drawn to those borders and to those others and to making kin. And, like, that's where your black market economies start. At those borders there, and it's just, it's inevitable, you know. We're going to populate these places and we're going to come together. So we've been coming together for a good while around the Irish thing, and we've got people in Ireland, law keepers. We're sharing story with my beautiful partner Megan here. We just did a book about this, Snake Talk, and yeah, there's a big Irish chapter there, but the Irish influences all the way through, because she's practically Irish. She's a borrowed woman from central Queensland, but her dad's Irish. And she might as well just be from County Cork after time. Yeah, so, you know, so we set up these embassies. My lab mate and good brother Josh is here with his beautiful partner too. Yeah, we've been making embassy all over, setting up these sister labs in Canada with Anishinaabe mobs. You know, we got the embassy happening in Ireland that Holden there's been facilitating, along with others, you know, into South America and Amazon, you know, all over. We've got these embassies going, and you can't ignore the global north.
Just tell us what the embassy is. What does it mean? What do you understand? Well, by embassy,
that's when I say border work. Embassy is like the ceremony, and it's the law that happens where your governance scales beyond your territory. We have common law in Australia, sunrise, sunset, you know, continental common law, and that governs our protocols of how we meet, our rituals of meeting and trading. So it's our economy when it goes beyond the local economy. And then sometimes he says, I'm genius, wait there.
Hello.
Sometimes he just does that. Anyway. Yeah. He mostly talks in movie quotes. And sometimes they're just right.
You're listening to 3CR on 855 AM. If you're just tuning in, that was part one of a two-part segment from Tyson Yunker Porter speaking at Reanimating the World, which was a talk held at Black Spark on Friday evening. I'm just going to play a CSA and then we'll come back with part two. Thanks.
Kafirs are Palestinian scarves, and they're a symbol of support for justice for the Palestinian people. From the traditional black and white kafir to an array of modern designs, explore the range and order online or drop by 3CR during business hours. Wear your support for the rights of Palestinians. Go to kafirs.org.au, that's kufiyas.org.au. A 3CR supporter.
The zombie thing originally was more about a person who had like part of his spirit taken, or his spirit taken, you know, so just soulless, missing something. But we all have that in our cultures. Every culture's got something like that. A description of why empathy disorders happen. You know, so my mob, we call it living ghosts. You know, someone just becomes a living ghost. They lose part of their spirit. No one's born missing it, you know, they do the wrong thing, and, yeah, and they lose that part of their spirit, and they're hungry forever, you know, these living ghosts. Yeah, I don't want to reanimate them. That's just those narcissists that are around all the time, and they can't ever get enough. And that's the entire wealth class. And, you know, I don't think there's anything. I think the world's alive as a motherfucker. The world's fine. We need to, like, we don't need to reanimate that. It's always working. But then, you know, we need to deanimate the wealth class, probably. You know, I keep hearing about all this, you know, peaceful process. We've got to be non-violent, 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 non-violent. You know, we have law, and it's good. It's always designed to bring people back into proper relation. And you can even do it with those living ghost ones. They can be looked after. You know, but if they keep raping and killing, doing the wrong thing, then, you know, usually then they'll end up with a spear in the leg or a spear in the shoulder. And the idea then is that, you know, it's not the spearing as a punishment, like, don't do it again. It's like, well, now you have to be looked after for a couple of months because you won't be able to get your own food, you know, so you got to lie down there, and then we got to look after you. And then they learn over a couple of months of, you know, what it is to be cared for and how important that is. And that, you know, one day someone's going to have to wipe their ass. Every one of us, you know. And so it might be nice for them to get around and wipe a few asses themselves and learn how to, you know, get that part of their soul back, their spirit. Then if they can't do it, though, we've got Death Spear. And the Death Spear, it's got, like, them chunks, you know, like crystal or volcanic glass or something. So when it goes in, doesn't matter where it hits you, you know, there's shards come off. I got one at home. I made one. I'm ready. But I wasn't there at the Camp Sovereignty at the right time, unfortunately. I did say, you know, you'd, like, try that. Try that anywhere north of Sydney, and you know, you try that in Brisbane or Bundaberg or, you know, Townsville, see what happens. Anyway, yeah, so we got this Death Spear, and yeah, that's just like, nah, finish, kill, finish. Sometimes that has to happen. It's not great, but, you know, it has to, because they take so much from everybody else that then they create living ghosts. They damage people so bad that they lose that part of their spirit. And then they start doing that to their kids, do that to other people. You know, it's just fucked. And, you know, yeah, it's a bit of an epidemic of that at the moment. But, you know, most people can come back. But I don't think anyone in the wealth class can. I just think it's time for a death spear and all of that. And, yeah.
Death spear and all of that.
I can't do it, though. I did it on my own one night after the referendum, and, yeah. And yeah, I'm on good behavior, you know, so I can't do it. That's gonna have to be somebody who doesn't have a yeah.
3CR, your station, your voice.
Do a bit of disrupting and cause a bit of ruckus in the colony.
Always was, always will be.
Not celebrate Australia, but instead pay homage to the resistance of First Nations people against this illegal colonial occupation.
3CR, your station, your voice.
This country's black future is afire. With the right season, that burning school fire.
We'll be right back.
must be delivered. They've seen our breed, we won't conceive. Believe it when they come down.
You're listening to 3CR on 855 AM. Today is Monday, the 15th of September, 2025. And just then you heard Blue King Brown. And before that, you heard part two of a two-part segment from Tyson Younger Porter speaking at Reanimating the World, which was an event held at Black Spark on Friday evening just past. Up next, I'll be playing a speech from Saturday, August 2nd, where a rally was held outside the ALP conference at Moonee Valley Racecourse. The rally was held in a protest against the ALP, with demands to sanction Israel, stop arming Israel, end Indigenous deaths in custody, stop building prisons, to defend the CFMEU, to save public housing, and a call for justice for refugees. The following speech is from Noor, a Palestinian woman and activist.
Salaam alaikum. Hi everyone. Can you hear me okay? Awesome. Obviously, it goes without saying, but you know, as a Palestinian Indigenous woman, I do recognise the traditional owners on which we stand here, the Wurundjeri Woi-wurrung peoples, and acknowledge that these lands were never ceded, just like Palestinian lands were never ceded. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. And I just want to pay my respects to elders past and present. So like my mate mentioned, is that we do have a major rally tomorrow, and as some of you may be aware, the coppers that are surrounding us have sent out lies and propagated lies to the media, and I really just want them to question, do all of these people look like pro-Palestine extremists to you? Because I'm seeing this child over here, there's a teacher over here, there's, you know, working class folks, builders, plumbers, sparkies, you know. Grey-haired women and men and children of all walks of life, yet we are labelled in a sort of Islamophobic, racist tone, propagated by Jacinta Allen, by the way, who called us extremists. And the coppers have just picked it up and gone with it, and so has the racist mainstream media. But what I'm here really to talk to you about is how we need to come together tomorrow. Tomorrow is a big day. We are supporting our folks and our communities in Gadigal in New South Wales to march to the Harbour Bridge, and it's a huge, huge win and effort by community to continue the right to protest, to continue moving forward, and is a reflection on NAM as well as a community and how we will be marching to King Street Bridge, whether the coppers like it or not, and that we will stick together through a peaceful march to gain and show the people of Melbourne that, you know, what we're marching for, which is the ethnic cleansing and forced starvation and genocide committed against the Palestinian people in Gaza by Israel. But also why we're here is because the ALP is, you know, having drinks and being merry on our taxpayer monies and probably coming up with shit policies that impact us all, including public housing, including the CFMEU, the targeting of the CFMEU, and including policies on Gaza and Palestine. So on the 25th of July, Prime Minister Albanese issued a statement filled with slogans and propaganda. Mind you, he earlier said that the Palestinian movement calling for sanctions is a slogan, which is to me nonsensical, but here we are. He began by saying that the situation in Gaza, and I quote, has gone beyond the world's worst fears, end quote. As if for 665 days, Palestinians in the pro-Palestine community have not warned, have not urged, have not contacted, have not protested, have not demanded that this Labour government take action before these so-called fears took place. Instead, what we've seen is the ALP government led by the ALP and led by Albanese, and the Australian media being collaborators propagate and bolster Zionist rhetoric, Hasbara, and lies. And just a quick reminder, every Zionist accusation is a confession. Never forget that. So this is proven in the very same statement that Albanese released where he praises so-called Australia's strong support of the creation of the modern state of Israel. Which only really proves that a nation state built on the genocide and ethnic cleansing of the indigenous inhabitants here can only support the Zionist fascist entity that is Israel. He also goes on to bolster, like this statement blew me, but he also goes on to bolster the two-state solution rhetoric, one that has been conclusively rejected by Palestinian society, both in the diaspora and in historic Palestine, the West Bank, and Gaza. We, as Palestinians, reject these two-state solution platitudes. We demand a one-state solution with equal rights and the right for the indigenous Palestinian population expelled in 1948 to return. The two-state solution is dead. It has been dead for a very long time. It was dead from its very beginning. If it worked, we wouldn't be seeing the continued genocide, expulsion, forced starvation, and ethnic cleansing of Palestinians in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. We would not be seeing the subjugation of indigenous Palestinians in 48 lands as second-class citizens by Israel. So Albanese had the audacity to say and name or call out, you know, demand for sanctions as a slogan. But what's even more interesting in terms of the sloganism and the rhetoric is Foreign Minister Penny Wong and her audacity to say that F-35 weapons shipped to Israel or parts of F-35 parts to the F-35 aircraft, are non-lethal. And I really, really want to question the ALP, and I hope they're listening in, but I'm pretty sure they're not because they're bastards. But does this government really think we, the wider community, live under a rock? Do they undermine our intelligence, our integrity, our awareness, our consciousness as like moral, ethical human beings that are standing for rights and justice across multiple different sectors? It is these very weapons parts that, according to... Calm down. It is these very weapons parts that engage in the release mechanisms that drop 2,000 kilogram bombs on civilians in Gaza. It is these very weapons parts that have maimed, mutilated, and killed up to 150,000 Palestinians over the course of 665 days. Many remain missing. Many have had their bodies completely disappear into thin air. Like, just take that in and grasp that concept in. We have Palestinian bodies disappearing into thin air due to the impact of these bombs released by these F-35 jet fighter planes. There is just gone. Nothing left. And now we are witnessing the weaponization of hunger, a man-made famine imposed on the bodies of Palestinians by Israel in cooperation with the US, and all our prime minister can do is call on Israel to comply immediately with its obligations under international law. So my question to Prime Minister Albanese is, mate, what dimension are you living in? You do not call on a rogue state to comply with international law. You do not, the very laws that it has broken on a daily basis for 77 years. You do not request from a fascist Zionist state to cease its forced starvation tactics that have seen over 150 Palestinians die from malnutrition and over 1,200 be shot and killed as they sought aid at GHF sites. As Prime Minister, what a fucked up Prime Minister, sorry. As Prime Minister, you do not spout statements, you take action. You take action by immediately imposing sanctions on the state of Israel, including but not limited to diplomatic and trade embargoes. Sanctions must be placed on the export, trade, and transfer of weapons parts and components that are directly contributing to Israel's sustained bombardment of the Gaza Strip and the genocide of the Palestinian people. It seems so common sense that I don't understand how we're still talking about it. Prime Minister Albanese, these demands are not slogans. These demands are based on hundreds of hours of research, witness testimony, and a call by the Palestinian people both here in the diaspora and across the world in the diaspora and in historic Palestine to meet with these demands to ensure justice and peace. These demands must be met. Otherwise, like I said last week, we're going to disrupt. We will not bow down to the status quo. We will blockade. And this is where unions, we need to come together for this. We need to build a strong union movement, people power from within to break the status quo and break it down. Together, we are stronger. Together, we change the status quo. So again, Albanese, if you're listening, or if your cronies are listening, sanction Israel. Embargo any and all trade ties with Israel and expel the Israeli ambassador. He's to people power, he's to union fighting together, he's to public housing, and he's to the sanctioning of Israel. Free, free Palestine.
What's taking place in Palestine is horrendous.
Here are some ways that you can keep yourself informed and involved.
Listen in to Palestine Remembered every Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. or listen to the podcast. Join the APAN mailing list at apan.org.au for updates, news about actions you can get involved in, and where you can donate to provide humanitarian assistance.
Listen to other news and current affairs programs on 3CR that also cover Palestine.
The oppression of the Palestinian people has been going on for 75 years. It has to stop. You can be part of making that happen by staying informed and active.
APAN is a proud supporter of 3CR.
You're listening to 3CR on 855 AM. This is the Monday Breakfast Show. It's on the 15th of September, 2025. You're just tuning in. That was a speech from a Palestinian woman and activist named Noor at the ALP conference held outside Moonee Valley Racecourse on August 2nd. And a protest was held against the ALP conference and demands to sanction Israel, stop arming Israel, end indigenous deaths in custody, to stop building prisons, to defend the CFMEU, save public housing, and a call for justice for refugees. Up next, we're going to be listening back to the Pain and Radiance lecture and panel. We'll be hearing a speech from Leah Manima Avena, who is a multidisciplinary artist, psychotherapist, and cultural educator of Tuvaluan and Irish heritage. She has a deep commitment to anti-oppressive, land-based, and community-centered healing. Leah specializes in working with trauma and through culturally safe frameworks.
Thank you, Nasser. I actually thought I was coming to debate the handsomest Palestinian in Australia, so I'll put those notes aside and talk a bit about healing instead. But I'll first say, hi, my name is Leah Manaima Avene, and I stand here before you on this Kulin land that I've grown up on most of my life. I was born in Tuvalu, which many of you may not have heard of. It's a very small nation in the South Pacific Ocean. And we're made up of 9 atolls. And if we put all of those atolls together, it would only make 26 square kilometers of land. And so some of you may have heard of Tuvalu in recent weeks and months and years. Discussions of a treaty between Tuvalu and Australia have been ongoing, and currently my nation, my people, are making plans to permanently move from our lands across the ocean to places like Australia, Aotearoa and Turtle Island, because climate change has rendered our home unlivable. I think the last time I stood on this stage, it may have been almost 20 years ago, on a panel around climate change and about the urgency with which we need to act in order to ensure a safe future for all people, but certainly for Tuvaluans and many other low-lying nations around the world. And it's not lost on me that here we are again discussing an urgent, urgent need to save a people and to stand with a people and to listen to a people. And I recognize these patterns and processes of narratives that don't get listened to, categories of humans whose knowledge is considered inferior to others, and the warnings and warnings from people all over this world that are not listened to soon enough. And so I speak as we're talking about healing and well-being. I'm a psychotherapist, I'm also a researcher and an educator. Most importantly, I'm a parent. And a community member and a daughter. But I speak about the idea of well-being on multiple timelines. More than one reality can exist at the same time. And so when I think about my well-being as a Tuvaluan, I am thinking about the enormous grief I've held my entire life, knowing that our land, our ocean was under threat, and that people were not ready to hear what we needed them to hear in order to keep us safe. And as climate change starts to impact more and more of the middle class and more people in their everyday life, people are starting to listen. And very similarly, Palestinians have been telling us since before the Nakba what was happening to their land. And for such a long time, so many of us have failed to listen. And something I'll say about this, and the reason that I can't separate education from therapy work, is because I talk a lot about learning injuries. I talk about the conditioning each of us have had that allows us to, or that prepares us, perhaps, to be almost allergic or so unwilling to be open to the very knowledge and information and stories that will set us free. We're prepared almost to reject our own liberation, because in so many ways, so many people have been warning us for such a long time, and yet we still defer to the very same knowledge systems that have failed us. So I'll talk a little bit about therapy and how I do therapy. NASA mentioned I wrote a book about colonial fragmentation disorder. And as a Tuvaluan, I've spent most of my life trying to figure out, how do I get people to listen to me? How do I get people to listen to my community? And I did all the normal things. I did direct action. I spoke on a lot of panels. I did lots of awareness building. And I started to realize that there was a lot of interest and performance of interest, but the actual behavior changes that I needed to see people do was so difficult to actually implement. So then I started, I'm a musician as well, so I'd stand on stages and I'd sing and I'd tell stories about my people and about my home. And that felt, you know, that didn't feel quite right either. It didn't feel impactful. And so then I started thinking about therapy. I was a broadcaster for years on PBS, telling stories about First Nations histories and poetry and realities from all over the world. And through all of these different ways that I thought, you know, how can we get these messages out? How come we're not listening to each other? I really struggled. And then I eventually ended up doing therapy, studying relational psychotherapy. Because I thought, if I can create the kind of relational conditions required, maybe then people will feel safe enough to hear the realities that seem, you know, so difficult to understand. And so I did psychotherapy and I studied it. And luckily for me, at the same time that I was studying psychotherapy, I was also part of a of a group of people who were bringing culturally responsive practice into the prison system, into the children's prison system in Victoria. And I'm really disappointed that Professor Gary Foley isn't here tonight, because on my very first day of work, he gave a lecture to every single one of us teachers who would walk in and out of the prison every day and work with the young people. And he told us about the long and extraordinary history of this land and of the people of this land. And he told us, he explained to us, he talked us through the way that we went from invasion, and Fanon lays out, you know, lots of people lay out, you know, the processes of colonization, but he talked us through the way that this land had moved from direct invasion and war into normalization, internalization, and then institutions like the police and the prisons that hold all of that invasion in place. And so I went in so naive, and I thought, oh, I'm gonna hang out, I'll play some hip hop, I'll, you know, talk about liberation, I've got Malcolm X's bio, like, these kids are gonna love me. And I was so naive, I was so incredibly ignorant to the life that I had lived, and the fact that I had never, none of my family had ever been scooped up into the prison system, or the foster care system, or the child removal system here. I had never had an incarcerated, well, that's not entirely true. I wasn't in close contact with members of my family that had been incarcerated. And I hadn't experienced these institutions that hold invasion in place and target First Peoples on this land. So I thought I had a whole bunch of ideas about what we could do together. But I actually had to sit and listen for a very long time to the stories of my students. And many of you won't be surprised to learn that the children's prison system in Victoria, it just writes a map of every global conflict and every annihilated peoples in this world. The children's prison system has always contained Aboriginal children, and then usually a huge percentage of the latest migrant wave in this country, whatever community is being targeted and vilified. And when the Greek community, when it was decided by the government, the Greek community, it was okay for them to be acceptable and to be absorbed into the middle class, it was then the Vietnamese community. And then after them, Eastern European communities, et cetera, et cetera. So our prison systems hide our participation in global conflict. They hide the invasion that has always been going on in this land. And they hide the realities and the brutality experienced by the children who bear the brunt of this system. And so as I was learning all of this, and as I was sitting and listening to the experiences of my students, I started to realize how irrelevant my skills and my information was for these young people until I started being transformed by their stories. Until I started being so hurt and so angry with them, not for them, because of what was being done to all of us, but being experienced by them. And so at the same time as I was learning psychotherapy, I was being taught how to placate the worried middle class well. I was being taught that when people came in with their problems and their suffering, that, I could just do some of these micro gestures and a little bit of breathing and I'd be okay. And so these twin experiences were happening at the same time. And so when I finished my studies, I didn't register with the clinical organization for psychotherapists in Australia. I instead went to First Peoples who were knowledge holders, and I went to elders, and I started having conversations about how I might conduct myself as a therapist practicing on their land. And I started asking them, what do you need me to tell every person I sit with about what suffering means on this land? What do you need me to tell them about the stories that they haven't been exposed to? And so when I first started practicing, my clients were really baffled because they came to me to tell me about their problems, and I would say, your homework is to go to Foley's, Professor Gary Foley's website that he built in 1993. And on a page there is the heroes of the Koori resistance, and every week I want you to read one of their stories, and I want you to tell me how it makes you feel about what has happened on these lands and who has fought for this. A lot of people will do their acknowledgements of country and not understand the depth of what it means to acknowledge where we are and who we are and what it means to be here. And so I continued to practice in this way. I got a lot of people that didn't come back and a lot of people that did, but were still very confused. And it wasn't until after October the 7th that some of the people that I'd been working with started saying, oh, I get what you're doing here. I know what you're talking about. Because as we grieve the death of Anas and all of the journalists whose names that we have learned, as we grieve the death of the children who we are watching being annihilated, as we grieve all of this death, we have to also recognize that we live here 250 years on from the events that, like what we are watching in Gaza. And if that system became successful in disappearing all of the stories that we have bared witness to, that place could look a lot like it does here now. And what I say to people all the time is, when we don't understand the history of where we are robbed of the stories that can make every single one of us strong on this land. So when I talk about colonial fragmentation disorder, I'm talking about the disorder of the way that we are constantly turned away from each other, and we are constantly made afraid of all of the information and all of the stories that actually might present us with some sort of liberation collectively. So I don't know if I, oh gosh, it's really confronting, isn't it? I don't know what else is like most important to share about this, but I'm going to say something that it feels so hard to say, but it feels really important. When I was reading Dr. Samar's book, and if you don't have it, please get it, and if you do have it, get another couple of copies and give it to other people who don't think that this kind of information is relevant for them. The pieces that have broken, the pages that have broken my heart the most have been the pages where she is talking about the way that the annihilating occupation is starting to seep into the stories and the logic of Palestinian people. When all of that annihilation comes down, it starts to go sideways. We start doing this to ourselves and each other when we can't cope with the enormity of what is upon us. And as I've watched us organize the last couple of years, as I've watched, you know, clients come through my clinic and, you know, students come through my classrooms, I have watched how we behave when we're distressed. And what I want to say is the stories of this place can help tether us to a legacy that is so much bigger than the one that we've been told by the Australian government. The Australian government organizes our relationship with this land. And I refuse that. I want to know what Kulin people have to tell me about this land, about their stories. Who were their Anases? You know, who fought for them? Who were their fighters? Who were their story keepers? What kept everything so strong here for hundreds of thousands of generations before the colonizers arrived? So to finish, I guess I'll just acknowledge that, you know, we are capable of so much more complexity than we give ourselves credit for. I have to triangulate between an annihilation of my country that is already gone, this land where the invasion is ongoing, and the urgency of what is happening in Palestine all at once. And I don't think that that is a simple thing to do, but I think it's necessary because all of these things are related to each other. We can learn from history when we start to thread it all together and not make the same mistake again as we did about Tuvalu and so many other places that have been annihilated. To finish, I guess, if we think about our well-being as people who live on this land, do we just trace it back to our childhood of origin and to our primary caregivers and to events that might have impacted us through our life? Or if we're on this land, do we trace it all the way back to first contact, when the wound began that we now all live within? And none of this makes me hopeless. Actually, it makes me so full of hope. I'm so sad that Professor Gary Foley isn't here with us. But when I think about the grace and the endless love that First Peoples have poured into not only the land under our feet, but into each of us, if we know the term woman jeka, somebody fought. People paid for their lives, so we still know that word. if we know the term Nungochen, which is often, and I say these terms really nervously, you know, which is often mistaken as thank you. But as it's been explained to me, Nungochen in Kulin languages means I am in your presence and you are in mine. Because systems existed where people didn't need to say please and thank you, because there were such important, well-connected ecosystems that kept this place safe. So I don't say this from a place of hopelessness. I say it from a place of deep, deep devotion to this place, to all of our lands, to all of our ancestors. And yeah, I just want to bow my head to Dr. Samar and to Zainab and to the whole team that have made this possible, because the information and the knowledge that is being shared is so relevant to every single one of us, not just in our solidarity with Palestine, but just for our own souls in being able to live in this world.
If you're experiencing family violence, free legal support is available. You may need support with obtaining protection, setting up safe parenting arrangements, organising a new visa, getting into safe housing, or making sure bills and bank accounts are split fairly. Community legal centres have expertise in helping people who experience family violence and can provide confidential advice to help you understand your rights and legal options. Reach out today for guidance and support. Visit www.fclc.org.au and click Get Help to find a community legal centre near you. You don't have to face family violence alone. If you are currently in crisis, please contact Safe Steps on 1800 015 188. Federation of Community Legal Centres is a 3CR supporter.
You're listening to 3CR on 855 AM. We're coming to the tail end of the Monday Breakfast Show. If you've just tuned in, the last segment was a really beautiful speech from Leah Manema Avena, who spoke at the Radiance and Pain lecture and panel. I really liked her point around the complexities that we as human beings are capable of. And she spoke to her need to triangulate having to leave her homelands in Tuvalu and then learning about First Nations issues living here on Aboriginal land, as well as facing the ongoing genocide in Gaza. And yeah, I think that resonated with me. But yeah, we're coming to the end of the show, so I'm going to finish off with a little song and then head to do the end of show rundown, and that'll be it from me for today's show. But yeah, thanks for tuning in and hope you enjoy.
Okay, yeah, all right. I find it hard to say that everything is all right. Don't look at me that way, like everything is all right. 'Cause my own eyes can see through all your false pretenses. But what you fail to see, cheap and easy to be wasted as history repeats. So foul you can taste it, and while the people sleep, can replace it.
so incomplete. And nothing can replace it. Fret not thyself, I say. Against these laws of man. Cause like the Bible says, his blood is on the hands. And what I gotta say, and what I gotta say, is rebel. Today is still today. Choose well. And what I gotta say is rebel. It can't go down this way. Choose well, choose well. Sleep too comfortable to face it. Your lives are so incomplete, and no one can replace it. Myself down now.
You're listening to 3CR on 855 AM. That was I Find It Hard to Say by Lauryn Hill, a classic. Going to go through the rundown from today's shows. We're finishing up. The headlines from today: 110,000 join a far-right anti-immigration rally in London. And here in the other headline is that here in Nam, both Saturday and Sunday saw thousands show up in support on Saturday of the Sovereignty Never Ceded rally as part of a National Day of Action. And yesterday was the 100th consecutive week of Free Palestine rallies here in Melbourne as well, in NAM. The segments that we heard today, first up was a speech from Saturday's rally by Yaron Cousins Bundle, who's a staunch First Nations woman. She was one of various First Nations people that spoke at the rally, who led the people up Swanston Street after the speeches and up to Parliament and stood in the face of racism and fascism and strongly opposed it, which is incredibly brave. After that, we heard a two-part segment from Reanimating the World, a talk that happened at Black Spark on Friday evening with Tyson Yonker Porter, the author of Sand Talk, and Danish native and well-known Nordic animist Rune Rasmussen, and Yin Paradis, a Wakaya man from North Queensland and promoter of primal living. After that, we heard a rally from the ALP State Conference, a speech from Noor, who's a Palestinian woman and activist. And finally, we finished off with a speech from Leah Manema Avena at the Radiance Pain and Panel, Pain and Resilience Lecture Panel. That's all we've got time for today. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.